The Gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Well, bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Good morning. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord, are we not? To come and worship and to give praise and to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. As I came in a couple of weeks ago, some folks were staying with us, Pastor Hollis Kim, and he was here worshiping with you and celebrating 140 years of ministry. And in many, many ways, our text for today reminds us of some really great news. And we're going to be talking about that as we look at the history of our own lives, of the history of church, of the history of the early church, which was even before we were born. When I looked at the booklet here, I perused some of the names of pastors and youth pastors, and I was a youth pastor at Lakeview Covenant in the 90s. And my grandkids think that was a long time ago. It was not, however. And in looking at those names, I have a special word of thanks, because as I was reading even earlier, back into the 30s and 40s, when this church planted what was called the East Side Church, that became Lakeview Covenant Church, where I served, realized that the vision of this church to spread out throughout the city at that time is an incredible ministry. So I say thank you. It was a great place to serve, and it was because of this congregation. I also noticed a date, 1955. That was the year I was born, according to my mom. And that was the year that this building, or the old building, was taken down, and this new structure was put up. Anybody remember that? Anybody work on it during those days? Exactly. And the realization that there was an ongoing ministry of the rebuilding. There had been an early church back in the 1800s. And by the way, when I think of 1883, again, my grandkids would say, well, Grandpa, what was it like? I wasn't around in 1883, thank you very much. But the 100 years with Christ is just continued blessing of what God continues to do in the ministry of First Covenant Church. The legacy and the life is it's encouraging to see what God is doing throughout our communities. And even though there are days where you say, well, am I getting any older? Yes, I am. I don't have the energy, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the truth is, our God still has both the energy and the strength. And we're going to talk about what God did in the midst of our story today. Will you pray with me as we begin? Our God and our Father, we thank you for you, our God who loves, who cares, who sent his Son Jesus Christ to live and to die, to bring hope to our world, to bring us eternal life. So, Lord, we celebrate and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anybody here ever been a Sunday school teacher? All right, we have Sunday school teachers. I want to thank you, Sunday school teachers, because you would have been, although I did have the little book, Little Visits with God. Does anybody remember that from the 50s, Little Visits with God? A little booklet my mom and dad would read to us at bedtime. But my first coming to familiarity with this passage happened in my Sunday school class with my Sunday school teachers. The making, the cutting out of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that actually fit in. Does anybody remember doing this? With a little paper basket that you could slide these into. How many did flannel graphs? All right, we're good. Flannel graphs with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes on there, and Jesus and the crowd and all of that, and I can envision this flannel graph and the story being told, right? And the understanding that indeed this child story that we first heard when we were young is so deep and is so profound, many people even overlook it a little bit. And understand what it teaches us about God. Throughout our lives, there have been songs that we remember that bring us to stories. You remember the song, Dare to Be a Daniel? Remember that one? Zacchaeus was? He was, by the way. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. You know, all the songs that we have this story that it's in our mind in the scriptures from Matthew that tells us. But our story today brings us to a place where it seems impossible to follow through with what Jesus is recommending. Remember the context. It was after the awful news we have in the scriptures. All 4 Gospels tell this story. It's the only story with this miracle that's in all 4 Gospels. The only one that has covered by all 4. That's pretty amazing stuff. And you realize that it was just after the news came that John the Baptist had been executed. A very sad time for the disciples. And they went away to kind of rest. But everybody followed. One of the great stories, ever have a day when the grandkids are around you, you're going to go away to rest, and pretty soon they follow and find you, and you've got 17 more books to read. There's just something about this story of being able to settle in again. The disciples had a plan. They're going to send everybody away to find food. Jesus said, nope. You feed them. The excuse that the disciples would take a half a year's wages to get enough food for this. Said, get them sitting down, groups of 50, groups of 100. And in this miracle, Jesus heals them. Think about Matthew. Why did Matthew include this story? If you know about Matthew, Matthew in his writing, his gospel, his sermon, was written to the Jewish folks who could believe and understand, so they could believe and understand that Jesus was the Messiah. That was his purpose of putting together all of the stories of Jesus' life, from Jesus' life. So they would actually know about Jesus, that he truly was the Messiah. They had missed it in so many ways, but he keeps pointing, and this is another one of the stories that that ring out, because when you go back into Matthew chapter 11, we read the words about John. This is before, obviously, he died. When John was in prison, heard about the deeds of Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." This is a combination of two Old Testament passages. Remember from Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61, pointing to the Messiah, that this is what it's going to look like when the Messiah comes. So pay attention when you see this. John was wondering. Jesus said, "Tell them what's going on. It fulfills Scripture that we are in a place." Matthew includes this story. He wants them to know, indeed, Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. So what do we want to grab out of this text that can put us into our life? At any point in our life, how does this go? Well, first of all, we know that life brings situations that need solving. Right? You come across something on any particular day and you go, "All right, we got to figure this out." This is what happened for them. There they were. People had come. We care for the people. The disciples were thinking about the people. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed them? If you have, let's say, how many did you say came? 100 and what?
175.
Okay, 175 people came. How are we going to feed them, right? How are we going to do this? How is it going to happen? And, of course, the practical sense is we're going to send them off early so they have time to get to the restaurants. And they didn't have too many. The McDonald's was not there. Maybe Taco John's, I don't know who was there, but they had to get them away so they could find food. They were truly caring about the people, but Jesus had other plans, right? He wanted to make the fact a reminder of who he was as a Son of God in this miraculous way. We also understand that he had been healing all day long. This is not the only miracle of the day. Sometimes we say, he was healing people all throughout the day. They were coming, and he was healing. The miracles continued. But you have to figure out, what are we going to do? Life in our lives, life in the church, life, we have, okay, what is our next step? My dad was an engineer, worked for a small company called Honeywell. And he was an engineer, and his mind was always going. I blame him for that for me sometimes, because my mind doesn't seem to shut down even in the morning. Anybody have a mind that doesn't want to shut down? And the deal is, engineer minds, brains, bother most everybody else's mind, brains. Is that true? Because they're moving and they're thinking way too much, analyzing everything way too much. Any people like that here? Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Well, the whole thing here was they had to solve this issue. They had to figure it out. But we also know, number two, that many times these situations are seemingly impossible, too hard, or really beyond our resources. That's what you came with the conclusion. You say, well, this is beyond our resources right now, when we were talking about this big event. But our story from history, in this particular part of Jesus' ministry, the disciples said, well, this is impossible. We can't do it. It's not physically possible. First of all, we're just a small band of people following Jesus, and we don't have a half a year's wages here in our pocket Now, maybe Judas had a few things because he was kind of the treasurer, but who knows, by that time he may have taken a few things out. We don't know. We don't know. But we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes is what the disciples answered. Have you ever said, I don't have enough money to get this done? I don't have the right gifts. I'm like Moses who said, well, I can't even talk. So what are you going to do with me? I can't lead. I'm not sure we can do this. It's only me. And as a church, all the times, in every church that I've been a part of and served, there were always something that we said, I don't think we can pull this off. I don't think we have the strength or the right, we don't have the right age or the right this or the right that or whatever. And that's where they were at, the disciples. What's fascinating in our story is all throughout the New Testament, there's this understanding that we can now partner. I love the story that Maple Grove and the connections there, you were able to pull together a partnership. And one of the things that happens here in our story is Jesus and the disciples together figured something out. Well, obviously, Jesus brought a miracle that was beyond miracles. But he also said to the disciples, now you go do this. You go get these guys organized. You go figure this out. And then you guys are going to pass out the food. And they're just going, what? Really? We don't have that in the text. But I can imagine a few of them like Thomas going, this ain't going to work, Jesus, just so you know. Let me clarify, Peter going, I don't know. We can't have it in the text, but anybody ever worked with people and they do the eye roll thing? They go, I got to believe the disciples were going, oh, Jesus, not again. You can't do this, Jesus. This is not possible. And yet, here they were. Sometimes we don't get into partnerships because we would rather do it ourselves. Or we think we could do it ourselves, or maybe. But back in the day, there was even jealousy in the early church. Remember the Apostle Paul? He wrote in 1 Corinthians, he did this thing. He said, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom we believe, the Lord assigned to each. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each of us will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. There's always these hard times. What are we going to do? There's always times, there's always walls, there's always the struggles that we come upon. But again, this reminder that it's God who brings the increase. There was a young man, and this may be related to some of us who weren't always great students. This particular young man, Day, was tougher. His nickname was Sparky. He failed every subject in 8th grade. He holds a school record for being the worst physics student. He also flunked Latin, algebra, and English. Now, I can honestly say I didn't do that. His social skills were not much better. He never dated. No one really paid much attention to him, but he had a hobby, and he loved to draw cartoons. He submitted them to school yearbook, but got rejected, and he kept drawing anyway. He dreamt of even drawing for Disney, but they didn't hire him either. So he started telling a story, The Misadventures of a Chronic Underachiever. His name was Schultz. Charles Schultz, who developed the Peanuts cartoons. In all of us, we have the possibilities because of God to move beyond us. And what's really interesting to me is that God had a plan that included us, that includes us. It goes way back to Abraham. When in Genesis chapter 12, we had this, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told them. We are part of that covenant, that we get to be a part of the church that gets to bless the world, right? You guys blessed your community that night last week. You did. You followed that same Abrahamic covenant, and you say, well, maybe we should have had 2,000, right? But you say, well, God brings the increase, right? That's up to Him. We just got to do our part. We'll do what we do. God will take care of the rest. That's not always easy to say, right? It's not always easy to do, but it's the truth of God's word is that God is working in and through us in so many, many, many ways. What would that look like? God chooses us, and you know what's funny? Is He actually chose us. Anybody been on a baseball team where you picked, where you threw the bat up and you caught the bat, and then the guys who were going to be captains went like this all the way up the bat? I'd do it on a candle, but that's not going to work for me. And then somebody grabbed the top, and then there was many ways to finish it off, but then they would kick the bat, and whoever got to pick first. And I can guarantee you, I was a little kid and a little person, a pipsqueak. I think you said, Sue, my wife, by the way, that's my wife, Sue. When I was about seventh grade, I was a twerp. What was the word you would use? Twerp. I was a twerp. And little kid. And I can guarantee you, I was never chosen first. Never. Because the bigger guys who were captains would look and say, well, so I was usually picked one of the last ones. And we all understand what that means. But I want you to know that God has chosen each one of us. And that's such a cool thing. Because all of your gifts, all of my, all of them put together have an amazing thing. Now I know, as I know in my days, now that I have retired and all of these things, I don't have the energy level I once had. And I can't do everything that I once did, but I can do what I can do. And God says, well, Craig, you know these things. Yeah, I know, but... And the reality that God still uses us is an amazing thing. And what comes through in this passage is a simple scripture. This simple scripture from Ephesians 3:20, and it's part of a benediction, actually. It says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. To Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In Acts 1:7, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come to you, and you will be my witnesses. That's all good news. The ministry we can do to each other of encouragement, the ministry that we have in this story is simply from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord wants to encourage us, because it's not about us. Truly, it's not, and what we can do, it's about what God wants to do and can do in and through us. He said to the disciples, "You go and feed them." And what happened? He went and fed them. They went, and there was more than enough, 12 baskets full. See, the Lord does a miracle. It's not just a little miracle. He does it fully. He makes it work in amazing ways. Where do you grab your strength from as a congregation? Where do you grab your strength from as an individual? Know that God can use you and that God will continue to minister through you as we just give ourselves up and say, "Okay, Lord, it's yours. We got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are you going to do?" We're going to minister. We're going to feed the people. We're going to open our parking lot and we're going to have a party. And God continues to make himself known and to build us up as we gather together. We know that life brings situations that need solving. We know many times there are situations that are impossible, that are too hard or beyond our resources. But God, in our partnership with us, he can do immensely more than we can ask or even imagine. As we move into this week, what's it going to look like? What miracle is he going to do in your life? Maybe it's really a simple one that you get to talk to a neighbor that you never talked to for the very first time, and you can say, "Well, they've been kind of closed off, and they haven't talked to many people." But today, God did a miracle, and here we are having a conversation. There's so much that God can do, and we look forward to seeing that miracle this week. Now, I can imagine it may not be taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and turning it into a banquet. But it might be. What does God have in your life this week? You know that as we are coming to the table today, the reality of God's miraculous life, death, and resurrection are again brought to us at the table, empowering us through his Holy Spirit to continue to live strong and to follow him. We pray this. Amen.